There are 30 verses in this particular chapter, but I'd like to read verses 1 to 15 for you. First Chronicles chapter 21. If you have not brought your Bibles with you, I encourage you to get hold of a Bible that is made available for you. Underneath those pews, we have Bibles that you can read even as we go into the Word of God today. First Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 to 15. Shall we all stand as we give reverence to the Word of God? Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the troops, "Go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan, then report back to me so that I may know how many there are." But Joab replied, "May the Lord multiply his troops 100 times over, my lord the king. Are they not all my lord's subjects? Why does my lord want to do this? Why should he bring guilt on Israel?" The king's word, however, overruled Joab. So Joab left and went throughout Israel and then came back to Jerusalem. Joab reported that the number of the fighting men to David in all Israel, there were 1,100,000 men who could handle a sword, including 470,000 in Judah. But Joab did not include Levi and Benjamin in the numbering because of the king's command was repulsive to him. This command was also evil in the sight of God, so he punished Israel. And God, David said to God, "I have sinned greatly by doing this. Now I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing." The Lord said to Gad, David's seer, "Go and tell David, this is what the Lord says. I am giving you three options. Choose one of them for me to carry out against you." So Gad went to David and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Take your choice. 3 years of famine, 3 months of being swept away before your enemies with their swords overtaking you, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord, days of plague in the land with the angel of the Lord ravaging every part of Israel. Now then decide how I should answer the one who sent me." David said to God, "I am in deep distress. Let me fall in the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is very great, but do not let me fall in the hands of men." So the Lord sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell dead. And God sent an angel to destroy Jerusalem, but as the angel was doing so, the Lord saw it and was grieved because of the calamity and said to the angel who was destroying the people, "Enough, withdraw your hand." The angel of the Lord was then standing at the threshing floor of Arauna, Jebusite. Flowers fade, the grass withers, but the word of God lives forever. Let us pray, may the words of our mouth, meditations of our hearts, be pleasing to you, our strength. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. One of the songs made famous by Frank Sinatra that many people love to sing is the song entitled "My Way." I believe that the song has become a Frank Sinatra signature hit, not only because of its very nice tune, but also because its lyrics paint a picture of a man who, in the twilight years of his life or his career, looks back on all the things that he has gone through, and after examining the full breadth of his experience, he confidently declares that he made it and did it his way. So the song goes, "And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain, my friend. I say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain." Do you want to sing with me? Let's sing. "I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. But more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each chartered course, each careful step along the byway. But more, much more than this, I did it." Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall. My way. Loved, laughed, and cried. I've had my fill, my share of losing. And now as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, not in a shy way, no, oh no, not me, did it. For what is a man? What has he got? if not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows. Again, there's no question that this is one song many people, including a good number of us here, love to sing. But if we really take the time to listen to its message, we will soon discover that what this song is trying to tell us is that there is a sense of pride in what a person can achieve, especially if it is done based on that person's merits alone. Oftentimes, the experience of success can be very satisfying when that success is achieved without the help of others, and more importantly, without the help of God. This, at its core, is what My Way is all about. And the reason why I even have to bring this to our attention today is because the message it conveys is not that far from the lessons we can learn from today's text, which records the story of King David taking a census of Israel. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would like to ask you to open your Bibles again to 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and just bookmark that particular passage in your Bibles. As we look into this story that is recorded for us in this particular chapter, it is my hope that we will leave this place today with a greater awareness that what happened to King David can also happen to us, but at the same time embrace the assurance that if we place our trust completely on God, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, He will give to us all things for which we seek, and He will bring us through always and forever. Now, in order for us to understand what really took place when David chose to number the people of Israel, we have to start in verse 1 of 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And early on in this story, we already learned that it was Satan who incited David to take a census of Israel. Take note that when Satan appeared to David during this time period, David was at the height of his power as king over Israel. And in the previous chapters, particularly in chapters 14, chapter 18, 19, and 20 of 1 Chronicles, we read that the reason why David became a very powerful king was because he was able to defeat all of Israel's enemies, not by himself, but by the help of God. So when we really come to think of it, it was God who endowed David with so much success during his reign as king. But I believe that David either forgot or deliberately refused to give God the glory for the great things God has done on his behalf and on behalf of the nation Israel. Because in the following verse, we are told that soon after he was provoked by Satan, David immediately instructed Joab and the commanders of the armies of Israel to go and count the Israelites from Dan to Beersheba, and then report back to him so that he may know how many there are. Now, upon hearing David's instruction, Joab, who was the commander-in-chief of the armies of Israel, and who obviously had the most knowledge regarding Israel's strength, realized that David was about to commit an act that would be considered sin in the eyes of God. So Joab strongly advised David not to take the count, because in the first place he knew that the armies of Israel were greatly outnumbered by their enemies, and the odds were not just in their favor. And more importantly, Joab knew that it was God that Israel had to rely on when confronting their enemies. Right there and then, David should have changed course, so to speak, and he should have listened to his commander-in-chief, but he did not. In fact, in verse 4 of our text, we read that he overruled Joab, and because Joab did not want to disobey his king, Joab left and went through Israel and then came back to Jerusalem. Joab reported the number of the fighting men to David, and in all Israel there were 1,100,000 men who could handle a sword, including 470,000 in Judah. Now, although our text does not really tell us how David reacted to Joab's report, we can just assume that David must have been very happy when he learned that he had those many men who were ready to fight with him and for him. However, the sad part of the story is that in verse 7 we are told that when David went ahead with this plan, which Joab strongly opposed, God regarded it to be a sin of such serious nature, which in accordance to his holy will deserved to be punished. So in verse 14 of our text, we read that God sent a plague on Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel died as a result of David's sin. Now, if you really want to know why God considered David's act of taking a census of Israel such a grievous sin, the answer is simply that David succumbed to Satan's temptation, which then led him to commit the sin of pride. Clearly, on David's part, it was the temptation to be inflated or to gloat over the number of Israel's fighting force, their past accomplishments, and their spoils from past battles. The sin was also the temptation to feel safe and secure in the number of fighting men he had, and to place confidence not on God, but in the strength of his army. As one who has been a recipient of God's numerous blessings in the past, David should have spent time glorifying God and expressing his trust and confidence in him. But when Satan whispered something in his ear that day, David completely forgot what God has done for him and what God has done for the entire nation of Israel. Church, one word of warning for us. When Satan comes and whispers something in our ear, we can be assured that it's a bad idea. So anytime the devil offers suggestions or advice, we would be wise to resist him. And whenever the devil shows up, it is certainly not the time when good things are going to happen. Because as we have already learned from David's story, when Satan provoked David into numbering Israel, the result was that God punished Israel for what David had done. Church, another word of warning is this. If the devil could get to David, who was a powerful man, a mighty man, and a man after God's own heart, he can get to any one of us, even today, if we are not alert and if we are not on guard. You see, the devil wants to use us to do harm, not only to ourselves, but also to do harm to others. And sad to say, he will even use Christians to destroy others, including fellow believers. For example, if he can use our anger or our big mouth, he won't hesitate to do so, and he will use us to come against our very own family and even our fellow church members. In fact, he can use us to cause real hurt and pain to those who love us. So church, as believers, we must be wise, not allowing the devil to use our tongue to spread bitterness or resentment or conflict or animosity. And we must not give the devil even a foothold or a very small opening in our life to do it. Instead, as the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, let us be sober and vigilant, because our enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, looking for someone to destroy. Now, going back to David's sin of numbering the fighting men of Israel, I would like to highlight the fact that as far as Israel was concerned, Israel was never strong in its own might, meaning that Israel's might was not in its number, because Israel was always outnumbered by their enemies around them. In fact, if we turn to the stories about their conquest of the land of Canaan and the land that God had already promised to them, what we learn from these stories is that every time they begin to compare themselves with their pagan neighbors, what happens usually is that they became terrified. One case in point is the account of the 10 spies who went out to scout Canaan. They returned with the report that the land was occupied by giants. And so they resigned themselves to the fact that there was no way they could overcome the giants or the residents of the land. But what do you think was God's word to them at that time? God's word was, don't look at the numbers. Don't look at the numbers, but count on me and stand on my word. And church, if we translate this into our context today, what this tells us is that we must never judge our strength by appearances. And our faith too must not be on our circumstances, but in our God who saved us, in our God who brought us this far, and in our God who will see us through the remaining of the way. When God told Israel not to count their number, and compare themselves to their pagan neighbors as Christians. God is also telling us, especially in today's context, that we should not do that either. Instead, we should look to Him and count on Him alone. We don't look at our resources, but we trust in God's resources. We don't count on our provision and our abilities, but we look to our God to provide for us. Because as His Word, the Bible clearly says, He is our strength, He is our source, He is our deliverer, He is our healer, and we are safe in the hollow of His hands. So if there's one important lesson that we ought to learn from this story, it is that, again, we should beware of the sin of brides or of the temptation to say, I did it my way. Because the truth of the matter is that if there's a sin that is always detestable in the eyes of God, it is pride. Have you noticed that right in the middle of the word sin, S-I-N, as well as the word pride, P-R-I-D-E, is the letter I. So we need to be careful of I. We need to be careful of me. We need to be careful of myself. Because if we focus too much attention on ourselves instead of on God, the sin of pride will get hold of us in no time at all. You see, church, it was pride that brought down Adam and Eve. It was pride. Pride is also the sin that caused Lucifer, the most beautiful of all the angels of heaven, to become the devil, to become Satan. Furthermore, pride is the sin that overcame David when he was at the height of his power as king over Israel and when he was very near the end of his life. And finally, pride is the sin that all of us here are so prone to fall into. In fact, pride is probably the most common sin today. It is common among people of all ages and all ethnic backgrounds. For example, our young people can be so truly prideful and full of themselves in that they will not listen to their elders, they will not listen to their parents, or they will not listen to their teachers anymore. They will not listen to those who have more experience and have no regard for what others have to say. Pride, however, is not only affecting our young people, but it is also affecting the middle age and the elderly, because the elderly can be just as headstrong as, and many times even more obstinate than the younger generation. I've gone this way before. You have to listen to me. My way is the right way. So when we really come to think of it, church, none of us here can be immune to the sin of pride, because pride can get us in whatever stage of life we find ourselves in. But you know what? The saddest thing of all is that the sin of pride can also be found in the church of Jesus Christ. It can also be found among the people of God today. For instance, when we succumb to the temptation to congratulate ourselves for the great work that we have done as a church, if we succumb to the temptation to promote ourselves, when we allow ourselves to become proud of our buildings or our church attendance or our offerings and so on and so forth, I tell you that God is repulsed by that sin of pride. And if we measure our success by the number of people who attend our church on Sundays, that's a big snare, so to speak, because it can lead us to look at the numbers instead of looking at the Lord. In the Bible, we are always commanded to look at the Lord and be faithful to whatever He has called us to do in the eyes of the Lord. Numbers don't matter at all. Because the truth is, He is just as present in a church of 20 people as He is in a church of 10,000 or 20,000. So it doesn't matter if we just number 100 or 200, and Joel Austin numbers 15,000, First Baptist Church numbers 15,000. In fact, our God is much more present in a group of three as He is in 300,000, because He clearly said in His Word found in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, that where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is in the midst of them. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. So in closing, church, I would like to say that we should never measure our success as a church or as individual Christians based on numbers, because if we are not careful, just like in King David's case, this can lead us to the sin of pride. Instead, we must always focus on the Lord who is faithful to keep us. We must always focus on the Lord who is faithful to deliver us, to provide for us, and to enable us to conquer no matter what kind of circumstance we find ourselves in. Church, listen, God will enable us. So our strength is not in our size as a church. Our strength is not in ourselves as individual Christians. Our strength is in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. We are in Him and He is in us. And as the Bible says, we can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives us strength.